Sunday Mornings with Yellowknife Vineyard.
The Holy Trinity Anglican Church. I'm a lay leader at the Anglican Church, and I bring you greetings from the Holy Trinity, and thanks for inviting me. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and redeemer. Today, I was invited to come and share the word of God with you. And the theme that is on here is about envy and trying to respond to that question, why not me? And so today's sermon is about envy and answering that question. Today's readings take us through four powerful moments that we've seen. In Genesis, we see Cain looks at Abel and something rises inside him. In 1 Samuel, we saw that Saul hears people praising David, and again something shifts in his heart. In James, we saw that we are warned about envy and selfish ambition. It tells us that this leads us into disorder. And in the Gospel of Luke, we saw the older brother who stands out and doesn't want to go in when he's invited, when the young brother comes back. So all these things are from different people, different situations. But we see one question that goes on in their mind at that time. And that question is, why not me? Why is Abel accepted and not me? Why was David being praised and not me? And why is my father celebrating the young son who went out and did all he did and not me who has been there all the time? So these may have gone on silently, but the situations show that they were asking that question. So my brothers and sisters here today, many of us quietly ask that question. And many are still asking, why not me? Have you ever felt overlooked despite doing the right thing? Have you ever seen someone else receive what you hoped for? Have you ever congratulated someone, but deep in your heart, you are not fully in it? You tell them, I'm happy for you, but inside, some voice is whispering to you, why not me? And the more we dwell on this question, the more it slowly turns into resentment, comparison, and bitterness in our hearts. And if we are not careful, it can distort the way we see others and the way we see God. And that's why today the focus is on the older brother in that parable. Because sometimes the person farthest from joy is not the one who ran away. Sometimes it is the one who is standing outside closer. In the parable, we saw that the young son was far away from home, geographically, far away from home. And we see that the older son was closer. He had never left. He He was always there. This older brother was far away in another sense. One of them got lost in the streets, and the other one got lost in the yard. Like, that's just trying to show how far they were. And sometimes that is true of us as well. We may be present physically in many situations at church. We may be present physically in our relationships. We may be present physically in our families. We may be doing the right things, yet inwardly, we are so distant. And sometimes, the greatest distance is not where our feet are, but where our hearts have gone. And sometimes we are not outside because we are holy or we are wise. Sometimes we are outside simply because we are upset or angry. And when we are outside, at times we call this peace, but it's actually pain. We are feeling that pain in our hearts. At times we call it wisdom, I'll keep away. But it is actually wounded pride. You never enjoy it. At times we call this having our space or distance, but it is actually disappointment. And in the story, while the young son was being celebrated, the older brother was outside and he was angry. But why was he angry? Music was playing. Food was being served. There was grace in the house. But he was angry simply because he could not rejoice somebody's restoration. And in that parable, Jesus is teaching us a powerful lesson here. That it is possible to be near the Father's house, to be so close, and still miss the Father's joy. It is possible to do all the right things and still carry the wrong heart. God does not look at what we do. He looks at the reasons why you are doing what you are doing. And as we see in the gospel, the older brother says to his father, "Look, all these years, I've been slaving for you, yet you never gave me even a young goat. Surely, that doesn't sound like the voice of a son talking to his father. That sounds like the voice of a servant, the voice of a slave, someone who is working for a pay." And perhaps what was going on in his heart, he was still asking that question, why not me? Why not me? He had served for years, but somewhere along the journey, this service became resentment. And sometimes we are hurt, not because we have been wronged, but simply because someone else is blessed. And that feeling is not just in the Bible. It's with us in today's life here. The young people feel this on social media as you read, why are others blessed? The adults, we feel that in our careers and families today. When someone is promoted, when someone takes the role that maybe one would have, we're saying, why? Why not me? Why should it be them? Even the older members feel it in their health, their peace, all the outcomes. Why has so-and-so achieved this and not me? The question belongs to us all, that we can still be in church, serving, faithful, very committed, and still quietly asking, Lord, after all these years, why not me? Why not me? I like giving some personal stories because that's how I usually connect to God's word. When I was in high school, I grew up in Uganda. And I was in high school, in a boarding school. All my friends, the children in that school, most of them were children from really well-to-do families, dignitaries, sons of ambassadors. So that was the school. And during holidays, when we had events in the capital, I used to visit these families. They had all the things I thought were the best. When we were going to have a meal, they would have dining tables. They had refrigerators. They had TV screens. And I saw all this. So then I would return home. At home, life was different. But it was good. That's the life we knew. We used to drink cool water from clay pots. Many of you may not know what a clay pot is, but it's a pot made of clay. It's big, right? And so the cool water is stored in there, so we used to drink from there. We had no dining tables. They were not there. In the evening, we sat in the yard, shared our meal, and sang. Our TV movies were the religious songs that we sang. And that was the life we knew. And it was good. And we were happy. But as a young boy, after seeing something different, after visiting all these friends, I would still quietly ask, why not me? And my father was a preacher. My father was a faithful man. He was a man of God, a strong man of God. He was leading and preaching at the church. So I would constantly ask, why not me? After all this, look, my father is one of the closest people to God. So that rang in my mind. I was just a young kid. And I remember thinking, maybe one day my children will enjoy opportunities like that. That was how far my imagination could go. But God is kind. In time, God allowed me to experience things I never imagined in those days. And when I look back, I realize that what I thought was missing was not the absence of blessing. God had already blessed us in ways we could not understand then. And so sometimes we ask, why not me? But God is saying, your time has not yet come. You are not yet done with you. Just hang on. Brethren, today, I would like you to believe and understand God's heart. God has not forgotten you. God's love for another person does not reduce his love for you. Someone else's blessing does not cancel what God can still do in your life. The Father says in the gospel, my son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. So, the problem with the older son, much as the father moved out, was not lack. Lack, L-O-S-C-K, not L-O-U-C-K. The problem was how this older son saw the situation, his perception. And sometimes comparing things or comparison blinds us to blessing. The older brother, as we read, was so focused on counting someone's blessings, and then he forgot to count his own. And many of us do that today. We become so focused on what God is doing for others, and we forget what God has already done for us. The younger son in that story represents God's grace after failure. The younger son moved out. He got his inheritance. He enjoyed it, blessed it, and he came back to his father. That shows God's grace, that God does not, he looks at us even after we have failed. The older brother in this story reminds us that even faithful people can forget grace. And both of these needed the father. The father runs out to receive the young son when the son comes back. At the same time, we saw that the father goes out to the older son and invites him to come in and receive grace. That is the love of God for us all. He runs to those who are rebellious, and he goes out to those who are resentful. But the good news is there is grace for all of us. So if you have fallen, just know there is grace. If you have become bitter, there is grace. If you are tired, disappointed, and keep asking, why me? Why not me? Just know there is grace. God does not bless one person by taking from another. What he has for them is for them. And what he has for you is for you. If God blessed another person today, he still remains able to bless another one tomorrow. His love is abundant. Have you ever imagined what life would be like if we all stopped asking, why not me? Or living in that with that question. It is there, it lingers in our minds, and it will be there, and we keep asking. When we read, if only Cain had chosen humility instead of anger to his brother, if Saul had supported David instead of fearing him, and if this older brother had gone into the house, what would that situation be like? I believe there would be joy, there would be peace, and there would be unity. Now imagine a church where people celebrate each other, if you are living in a church, and celebrate each other. A family where another person's success becomes a shared joy. A heart free from comparison. A heart free from anger, hatred, and bitterness. Maybe just imagine a community, Yellowknife here, where we all live in harmony and receive each other. Or a world where different countries live like creations of one God. That would be like paradise. What if instead of asking, why not me? we just begin to say, Lord, thank you for where you have brought me from. Lord, I may not be where I want to be, but I am not where I used to be. When you compare things, comparison is looking sideways, but gratitude looks above. Comparison will never be satisfied. The more you keep feeding comparison, the more it eats your peace. The life you may be asking for may already be growing in your hands. Just you cannot see it yet. It's just not yet God's time. And so, my brothers and sisters, today, God calls us to do something. We have heard the father went out to the older brother, as we read. We have heard the words, my son, everything I have is yours. We have seen that there is grace for those who are rebellious. There is grace for the resentful, and there is grace for each and every one of us. But grace is an invitation. The grace is there, but it's an invitation. We have to do something. The father came out to the older brother, but the older brother still had to decide whether to go in or stay outside. That's grace. The young brother went out, enjoyed all his life, did everything, but time came and he made up his mind and he decided, I am going back. And the same is true for us. God comes to us, but we must take a step closer to God. God is coming to us. We need to take a step closer to God. Today I invite you to embrace God's grace. Let go of comparison. Trust God's timing. Let God heal your heart. Enter the house. Do not stay outside like the older brother. Do not keep bitterness when joy is waiting inside. The story ends without telling us if the older brother went in. But that was intentional, because the question was no longer with the older brother anymore. The question is not about him, it's about you. The question is, will you stay outside or will you come in? Will you keep asking, why not me? Or will you say, God, I trust what you are doing in my life? Because the same God who was with you in the season of scarcity is the same God who will be with you in the season of plenty. Let us pray. Lord, help us release comparison and embrace your grace. Heal every heart that feels overlooked. Teach us to celebrate others and draw us back into your joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. We hope you can join us again next time. Be blessed.